around Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, approximately midway through the page.
What Gemara?
Ksubis.
Still the same one. Still number one.
34b3, second column. In the regular Gemara, it's a little bit past midway in the Gemara. Okay, this is a similar, but a really a new piece of Gemara. We just started this Gemara last time. What happens if a father borrowed a cow from somebody for 30 days, right? And now the father has the cow. The father died after 2 weeks. So there's 2 weeks left for the borrowing, right? The din is, Mishtamshim bo kol yemei shelosa. The children could use the cow until the end of the borrowing time. Right? The father borrowed the cow for 30 days. After 2 weeks, the father died. So the children still have 2 weeks to be able to use the cow. But, so what happens if the cow died? Ein chayev ba'in seha. They don't have to pay damages. In other words, we learned that's where we left off last week. When you borrow a cow, and the animal dies a natural death, you have to pay. That's the din of a shoyl. Even ba'in sin, even accidental things, you have to pay, right? But the kids don't have to pay. And we'll soon see why. Okay? Okay, simply the point over here is, the kids didn't borrow it, the father did, so they're not obligated in that, unless if they were negligent. But if the cow died a natural death, the father who borrowed the cow has to pay for it. And the kids don't. What happened, kisfudim shalaviyam, what happens if the kids didn't know it was a borrowed cow? The kids thought it was the father's cow. V'tvachu v'ochla. And they shechted it and they ate it.
How can they not know?
Well, how do they know?
They know the father.
They didn't live with the father. They come to the father's after the funeral. They come home, they see a cow. They said, oh, it's the father's cow. They shechted it and they ate it.
I cannot eat meat for 7 days. I'm not.
Sure you could.
Okay, so 7 days later.
Well, you could. During Shiva, you could. Some side of the mode, but halachically, you could. Until the funeral, an Einan can't, but Shiva, you could. So the din is like this. Mishamim d'bosir bezel. They pay the cheap rate, which is, halacha says, without elaborating, 2/3 of the market value of the cow. They have to pay 2/3 only, not the whole damaging. Why? Because they didn't know they were damaging a cow, they thought it was the father's. So they can't get away without anything, but
is there anybody at home to tell?
They didn't know. Obviously, they didn't know. They thought it was the father's cow. They shechted it. Now, what happens though? Hiniach lohem avien achrayis nechosim. What happens is the father left over for the Yerusha property land. It's called the nechayis nechosim means land. Then chayavim sham, they have to pay. We don't know yet which case this is. Okay, there's two cases in Rava's din. One is, if the father left over a cow, a borrowed cow, they could use it. And if an accident happened, they don't have to pay. It's one din, right? Then Rava said another din. What happens, they thought the cow was the father's, and they shechted it, they only have to pay the cheap meat. That's two dinim. Yeah? Then there's an... Then there's another third aspect. The third aspect is, if the father left over property, land, then they do have to pay. Okay. Now, does that go on the first case or on the second case? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss now.
One is the case of the cow.
One case is, the father left over a cow, they could use it. Yeah. And if it died,
they're not responsible.
They don't have to pay. That's din one.
Yeah.
Now, din two, what happens, they thought it was the father's and they shechted it.
Oh.
They have to pay cheap price. Okay, that's the second din. Now, the third din says, if the father left over land, then they do have to pay. Now, is that case one they have to pay or case two they have to pay? We don't know. Could be either one.
left land for?
No, if the father died and left over inheritance land,
okay.
So there's a lien on the land automatically because of the debt. So therefore, the question is, they have to pay. What we don't know, is it the first case or the second case? It could be the first case if the cow died. Rava said they don't have to pay. Maybe Rava mean, but if the father left land, then they would have to pay. Or does it mean the second case, where the kids didn't know, they shechted, they have to pay 2/3, maybe Rava's saying, if they left land, they have to pay the whole thing, not 2/3. So we don't know which one it means.
But this is just an opinion, it's not halacha, right?
This is Rava's halacha. Nobody's arguing with him.
My question is, if the kids inherit, and they use it, automatically by assuming that, they assume the liability in case if it
that's
dies.
What the Gemara, that's what Rav is saying, though. Meanwhile, we will soon see in the Gemara. But Rav is saying, because they didn't borrow it, and because they didn't borrow it, they don't have to pay the damages. I mean, the accident, not the accident, if it dies. Okay, let's see the Gemara now. Ika de Masna Aresha. What? In your Gemara, 34b3, all the way to the last three lines of the page. Ika de Masna Aresha. Some people learn that this din, that if there's land, you do have to pay, is on the first case, if the cow died. And Ika de Masna Aresha. Some people learn it on the second case, that instead of paying the 2/3 meat, they have to pay the whole meat. The whole value of what they ate. So he says like this. Man de matzna reisha. The one that learns it on the first case, that if an anus happened, you don't have to pay. And then if the father left over land, you do have to pay. Then definitely on the second case, when they ate the meat, when it says you have to pay 2/3, for sure you'd have to pay the whole thing. Like it says, upligad rapapa, and they would argue against rapapa. Rav Papa said, okay, because Rav Papa said before in the Gemara, if a guy borrows a cow, slaughters it on Shabbos, doesn't have to pay, because it's coming simultaneously, right? The acquiring the animals when you kill it, and then you desecrated Shabbos at the same time. That was before in the Gemara what Rav Papa said. So then, Rav Papa says that when does the responsibility begin? Not when he borrows it. Right? Here they're saying it applies when they do borrow it. Therefore, if the father left over land, they would have to pay for it. So that would not be like Rav Papa says. Well, man de masla, I'll explain this whole thing in again, a second. Man de masla, say, the one that learns it only as far as the later part, meaning if they ate the animal, they slaughtered and ate it, that they have to pay 2/3. Yeah? Then if the father left over land, you have to pay the whole thing. But in the first case, if the cow died accidentally, they don't have to pay. That's Hainu Drapab, that's exactly Kwantra Drapab. Okay, let me discuss. This is a very interesting question. And like I said, Dasim Dal Treb has a unique opinion over here. And the Gemara, meanwhile, doesn't seem to go with that opinion. It's a very important idea to understand. I borrow a cow from you. Yeah? And then the cow gets killed. Right? I have to pay. Right? I have to pay for the cow. When does that obligation of paying begins? When I borrowed the cow? Or when the cow got killed? Huh? It's a very big difference.
You borrow it from now, if something happened later on, so...
There's two ways of looking at it. Okay, you know there's four shomer, a guy watches for free, he's only obligated for negligence, right? Stolen loss, he doesn't have to pay. If a guy's paid to watch it, his responsibilities are more, even if it's stolen or lost, he has to pay for it, right? Okay. If accidents happen, nobody has to pay for it except the borrower. A shoyel who borrows something, no matter what happens, you have to give it back. Okay. Now, I give you something to watch. I mean, I'm not paying you for it to watch. You're shoyel mechinam. Yeah? And then the animal something happened to the animal and you have to pay for it. You were negligent. You were negligent. You didn't watch it. You left the barn door open. The animal got out and got killed. You have to pay for it, yeah? Because you were negligent. Does that obligation begin when I gave it to you? Meaning like this. If I give you a cow, whether you're watching it for me for free, watching it for money, renting it, or borrowing it for free, yeah, which are the four shalminim the Torah speaks about, is it like this? The second I give it to you, you have an obligation to pay it back. But the Torah says, if an accident happens, you don't have to. If it was stolen or lost and you wouldn't pay to watch, you don't have to pay back. But the obligation begins at the beginning, the second you took it. It's one way of looking at it. Yeah? Another way of looking at it is no. The obligation of you paying for it begins when you were negligent.
When it was lost.
When it was lost. Damaged, killed, died, whatever.
You can look at it both ways. You can really look at it both ways.
Which way is the right way?
The first one, because as soon as you acquire it, you know, you're liable for it.
Yeah.
Or no. I'm obligated to pay you when it gets damaged.
But your responsibility starts immediately.
Let me tell you what the difference is. We learned before in the Gemara. I borrow your cow. Yeah? On Tuesday. I borrow your cow. On Shabbos, I shecht the cow. Your cow. I shecht it. Now, I desecrated Shabbos and get killed. Do I have to pay for the cow also or not? Now just think for a second. If the obligation began on Tuesday to give it back, right? Yeah? Then Shabbos and the money is not coming simultaneously. It's two separate acts. Understand? Tuesday I have to pay for it. Shabbos I killed the animal, so I get killed. So it's two different obligations. It's not simultaneous. You can't get killed and pay money at the same time, right? For the same act. But this is two different acts. If I was obligated to pay then when it's Shabbos I killed the ox, there's nothing to do with what I took Tuesday. Tuesday is already obligated to pay you back an animal. Okay. Now, Rav Papa held before in the Gemara that if you borrow somebody's ox on Tuesday and then Shabbos you kill it, Rav Papa says you have to pay the money. It's two different things. The obligation began Tuesday, and desecration of Shabbos was 5 days later on Shabbos. Right? But if you hold the obligation to pay begins when I kill it, so then death and payment is happening simultaneously. Yeah? So that's what that Papa holds. Got it? That's what I popped. Now let's see Rava's case. The father borrowed a cow. The kids could use it. Correct? Now, if the cow died, Rava said they don't have to pay. Yeah? But if the father left over land, and you say it goes in the first case, right? That then they would have to pay. Yeah?
If he died natural or negligence?
Natural. Doesn't matter, but he has to pay for it. Doesn't matter. Right? So what's the case then? When did the obligation begin? In whose house? The father's. So why should they have to pay for it?
There is a negligence by the car called here.
Huh?
There is negligence by karka. What happened?
No, it's just because he has karka there.
Right. It could be that the one that's obligation begins...
One minute, because according to that papa, that the obligation began at the beginning, correct? Then there's the father's obligation, not the kids. So why should he collect from the kids? It's not their obligation.
It's the Yerusha now.
So what?
Why do you even have to pay two tere? You have to pay nothing, no? That's the case.
The cow died and the son, the owner cannot collect from the father's estate, even if it was real property. Why? Because it began at the point of borrowing it, and it's not the father's case.
Isn't the kids responsible to take care of the estate?
Even the estate, yeah. Isn't the estate responsible?
But it died a natural death. He never damaged it.
I could see.
It was a natural. There's a unique obligation on a borrower to pay it back. Right? But the kids didn't borrow it. It's not that he damaged it. Then there's an obligation on the estate. But here it's the borrower, the person that borrowed it. He's obligated.
Him and the estate is the same.
No.
In the secular life, maybe it's in the...
See, if it's at the time that the person took it as the obligation, then it would be on the estate also. In other words, like this. If the father's estate is liable to pay, okay, the estate is liable to pay even if the kids ate it, when they shechted it, because it's on the estate. But in the case, if you borrow a cow, slaughters on Shabbos, the liability occurred simultaneously with
the father.
No, I'm sorry. The papa holds over there, you don't have to pay. I mix it with the papa. The papa holds by Shabbos when you shech the cow on Shabbos, if you borrowed it a few days earlier. Yeah, you don't have to pay. The Prophet said before in the Gemara, you don't have to pay. Yeah.
To pay because you go by the worst of the worst sin, right? Is that why?
The Prophet said, if you borrow the cow right before this Gemara and you shecht it on Shabbos, the Prophet says you don't have to pay. I'm sorry, Rav Papa said you don't have to pay. Because Rav Papa holds, the obligation begins when you shechted it. Not before. Not when you took it. Okay? So according to Rava, if the estate has to pay, if the cow died naturally and the estate has to pay for it, or in the second case when the kids shechted it, right? So then, because the obligation began when the father took it, it's on the estate. If the obligation began when the kids killed the animal, it's not the father's estate anymore, it's their estate.
Because the father's not in the picture anymore.
The father's not in the picture anymore. In other words,
what do you mean by estate anymore?
The property. The nechasim. If the obligation to pay for the cow began when the father borrowed it, then that obligation remains on the estate, on the property. Correct? So therefore the kids would have to pay. But if the obligation begins when the damage took place, they're not obligated to pay from the father's estate, because the father had nothing to do with it. The father had no obligation. Because the obligation only began when they killed the animal. So that would be not like Rav Papa. Rav Papa holds, I'm saying this, Rav Papa holds the obligation of payment begins when you damage it.
Therefore you don't pay.
Therefore you don't pay on Shabbos. But if it begins when you damage it, but we don't know what Rav is saying. But if it's on the Reisha, if it's only on the Sefer, but the Reisha, no, then it's like Rav Papa, that the obligation begins at the time it died. And when it died, they didn't borrow it, so they don't have to pay.
Either way, the kids don't.
Daltreba holds it's interesting. Daltreba argues in Hilchos Pesach, there's a Kuntersachen, famous Kuntersachen. Daltreba argues against Iksos and others. Daltreba holds, and it could be based on this outcome of the Gemara also, that the obligations of the Shomrim begin when you take it.
It's like this. You give a lulav, you give it for them to own on the condition to give it back. Could it be the same that when you give it to someone, you're giving them on a condition to get it back, but when they get it, they're acquiring it? Because that's why they're obligated. So could you say that?
It's a different thing. Over here, I'm not giving you a gift. It's my property that you're watching for me.
No, when they take it, they acquire it. Like you.
But that's a gift. Without a shomer is not a gift. I'm not giving you the animal as a gift. Let me ask you a question. I lend a cow to you. Right? And then you take that cow and you do kedusha with a woman with it. Yeah?
It's not valid then.
It's not valid. It's my cow, it's not your cow. You can't do kedusha with my money. You have to do kedusha with your money.
But what if he pays for the cow? The guy?
No, because
no, still not?
If he pays first and he buys it, so then yeah, then he could do it.
That's why you ask, do you own it? Did you buy it? When they ring, they ask the question.
No, because it has to be his. Yeah, because it has to be his.
Right. How about if when you give it, not as a gift, I'm giving you for you to keep to own. But the
that's a gift.
And the condition to give it back.
No. So you only own it after you give it back.
Has nothing to do with this case. It doesn't apply here. No.
We'll try.
Okay.
Now, I'll give you an example. What you said, the case of lulav. What happens if I give you a lulav on Sukkis? Gift under condition matanam minas lahachzer. I'm giving you as a gift under condition you give it back. Yeah? You don't give it back, and the esrig becomes possible. Did you do the mitzvah? Now it got become, that's what got destroyed. That's what got destroyed.
Who did the mitzvah?
I give you a lulav and esrig,
okay.
But I'm giving you as a gift, and the kedushi return it.
Okay.
Now, if you don't return it, what happens?
It's a monetary thing. As long as you already did the mitzvah.
No.
Like you stole
the lulav has to be yours.
Okay, it's yours.
But it's yours on the condition you give it back. That means if you fulfill the condition, then it's yours. If you don't fulfill the condition,
you pay the damages.
It's never yours. But it was never yours. Right? So now I'll give you an asterisk, matanam and asla hachzir, and it falls down into the sewer, whatever, that's it. It's finished. You didn't do the mitzvah. Because you're never going to give it back. It's only applicable when you give it back. If you don't give it back, you're not going to do the mitzvah.
He has to pay for it?
Sure he has to pay for it.
It was a matana.
It wasn't matana. The matana is only effective when he gives it back.
Oh. Okay, if he gives it back, then it's a matana.
Right. Retroactively, it was yours, and then you did it.
Matana.
Yeah.
Like sort of like rental.
Not like rental. No. Question is rental ownership or not?
You're
okay.
Responsible for it.
Huh?
You're responsible for it.
Could be.
Can we say like when you're borrowing something, right away you're responsible? I mean, right away you have to be shomer, you have to watch over it. But if something happens, then it's a machloket, then it gets affected from that or not. But everybody agrees, you know, when I give you this right now, I'm not going to start like 10 days from now if something happened. From now on, you are responsible. You have to watch over it if you borrow it. Yeah, no?
When does the obligation start?
Right away. But the machloket is, if something happened, then we go.
What do you mean something happened? Did the obligation begin later or began before?
Even nothing happened. The question is,
that's the difference in our case.
But the question, our case is something happened. Imagine something happened. Then the same question applies?
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Give it back.
No. I want to know the logic. Imagine nothing happened. So the same question applies there too?
You still have to give it back.
No. That we go by the time that you got it or no? That's my question.
You have to give it back anyway. The question, when something damaged you, you have to pay money because you can't give it back. When does that obligation of paying start? I give you an animal, normally you give it back to me. If the animal got damaged, you can't give it back to me. You have to pay me money. Right? When did that obligation of paying money begin? When you damaged it or when I gave it to you? That's the discussion. If you hold the rapapa, you don't hold the rapapa.
So when you're borrowing something from the beginning, nothing going on?
If nothing happens, then the animal's there. You know, you go.
Imagine theory. If I borrow something from you, if nothing happened, from now on, it's like till I give it back to you, is nothing going on? It's like the.
Now we have two opinions.
Two opinions.
Even if nothing happened, it's still there's an opinion.
But then you're giving it back, so what's the difference? There's no difference. The difference is when you have to pay money. Is it from the father's estate or from the kid's estate?
So whether something happens or not, we have two views, Rav Papa
and... about one opinion according to Rav.
If nothing happens, there's nothing to talk about. It's borrower and something.
If you're borrowing something, you are responsible from the beginning. From the beginning, you are responsible if you borrow something.
That's one of them.
And you don't have to wait something happens, then you become responsible.
No, the chiddush over here is, when I give you something to watch, you have to pay me money back for it. That's it, you have to pay me. If nothing happens, you give me back the animal, that's the payment. If something happens, it's not then the obligation starts. It began when I gave it to you. And the difference is, if it happens on Shabbos,
you pay money and get killed.
You pay money and get killed at the same time. If your whole obligation began when you gave it to you, that was Tuesday, so then you don't have to pay money. If your whole it happened when the damages happened, then on Shabbos, the obligation of money began. Okay, now, the Gemara is going back to a Gemara before, a page or two ago, which was a while ago. Remember there was a contradiction between the Mishnah Makis, okay, and our Mishnah. In the Mishnah Makis, which says that if you have relations with your sister, it says over there, you get lashes. And our Mishnah says, you don't get lashes. Okay. A long time ago. The Gemara asked the question between the Mishnah all the way at the beginning of the Perek. Ask the question. There are different answers all along. Okay, anyway, the story over there where was before the Gemara. Rish Lakish says that there seemed to be a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Makis. Okay? The Mishnah Makis, here it is. Okay. Our Mishnah states, if one violates his sister, rapes his sister, he pays knas. The Mishnah Makis says, if you rape your sister, you don't pay knas. Okay, there was a contradiction we learned before in the Gemara. all the way at the beginning of the parak. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yochanan answered, first of all, I was going to say Rish Lakish's answer. Rish Lakish's answer is, the Mishnah that says, you get Malkus and pay, is Rab Meir. Because Rab Meir says, you get Malkus and you pay. So the Mishnah in Malkus that says that you get Malkus and you pay the fine, right, is going to Rab Meir. Our Mishnah that says you get Malkus and you don't pay the fine, that's not according to Rab Meir, that's the Chachamim. That's what Rish Lakish answered. Rabbi Yochanan answered a different answer. Rabbi Yochanan answered that the Mishnah rules because he was not warned. And because he was not warned, he's not going to get Malkus. Therefore, you pay. The Mishnah Malkus that says you do get Malkus and pay, speaking, he was warned. Now, if you commit a crime, I'm sure you pay the fine because the guy was not warned, so he didn't get lashes. Okay, that's different than the Mishnah Makis. So now the Gemara is asking like this: why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish say like each other? What's wrong with each one's opinion that the other one doesn't like? Remember, there's one contradiction. Our Mishnah says, our Mishnah says that if you have relations with your sister, okay, you pay the fine. The Mishnah in Makkah says you don't pay the fine. You just get Malkus.
So he says it's unchayv
mitzvah. Not nowadays. Bezin can't kill you today. Gemara asks the question like this. In the Mishnah Makkah says, you get Malkus if you have relations with your sister. Okay? And you don't get Malkus in pay. So Malkus, basically it says, you get Malkus. If you have relations with your sister, you get whipped. And therefore you don't pay. Our Mishnah says, you pay, and you don't get whipped. It's a contradiction. Our Mishnah says, you pay and don't get whipped. The Mishnah Malkus says, you pay, you get lashes, and you don't pay. Yeah? So the Mishnah says a contradiction. So Rabbi Yochanan answered, it, one case is speaking when he got warned, and one case is speaking when he didn't get warned. If he got warned, then he gets lashes. If he gets lashes, he doesn't have to pay. The Mishnah says he does pay, and he doesn't get Malkus, because he wasn't warned. Right? That's very simple. The Rish Lakish answered a different answer. The Rish Lakish, yes, yes, it's two different opinions. The Mishnah that says you get pay, you pay, is according to that mayor who holds you get Malkus and you pay. You get Malkus and you pay. The Mishnah that says you don't pay is speaking according to the opinion that says you get whipped and therefore you don't pay. So again, it's not a contradiction because it's two different opinions. That's how Rish Lakish answered it. Rabbi Yochanan answered it. If the guy was warned, so he gets lashes, but he doesn't, therefore doesn't have to pay. The Mishnah says you pay and don't get lashes because he wasn't warned. Yeah, that's the... So Gemara says, why doesn't Rish Lakish like Rabbi Yochanan's way of learning it? And why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan like the way Rish Lakish learned it? Okay, they're both good answers. And the fact that they disagree shows that they don't hold of the other one's answer. So why doesn't he hold of the other one's answer?
Rabbi Yochanan is Hatra'a and Rish Lakish is what?
It's an argument that the mayor says like a mishalim, so therefore the Mishnah says that you pay goes according to the mayor because you get Malkus and you pay. The Mishnah says that you get lashes and you don't pay goes according to the Chacham that says if you get whipped you don't pay. According to the Bechon goes according to everybody.
Yeah,
One case is warned, one case is not warned. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, I understand why Rabbi Yechon doesn't want to say like Rish Lakish. Because Rish Lakish is saying, one Mishnah goes according to the Meir, one Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim. Yeah? Now, why should a Mishnah go according to the minority opinion? Right? One Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, according to Rish Lakish, and one Mishnah is going according to the Rameir. One's the Rameir, one's the Chachamim. So, I understand, Rabbi Yechon says, why should I learn a Mishnah like the Meir's opinion? If the Halacha is not like Rameir, why is the Mishnah, why are we doing like that? But El Reish Lakish, my time, Le'amek Rabbi Yechon. Why doesn't Reish Lakish like Rabbi Yechon's answer? Rabbi Yechon's answer is a very clear answer. The Mishnah that says that you get whipped and don't pay, because you were warned. So then you pay. I mean, you get lashes, because you were warned, but you don't pay money, because you don't do both. The Mishnah that says you pay and don't get lashes, because you weren't warned. Edom didn't warn you of the crime. So therefore you can't get Malchus. If you don't get Malchus, you have to pay. It sounds very good, Rabbi Yechon's answer. Yeah? Why doesn't Reish Lakish like it? So Gemara says like this. Amalach, Reish Lakish says like this. And it's a very big chiddush in Reish Lakish's part. Reish Lakish holds like this. If they would have warned you, would you have to pay? No, because then you get whipped. So therefore Reish Lakish says, even if they don't warn you, you don't have to pay. That's what Reish Lakish says. I disagree with Rabbi Yechonin. Rabbi Yechonin says, the Mishnah that says you get whipped is because you were warned. Therefore you don't pay. Okay? The Mishnah that says that you pay is because you weren't warned. If you weren't warned, then you have to pay. Correct? Reish Lakish says, I disagree with that concept.
So
if it's a sin that if you get warned, you get whipped, even if and therefore you don't pay. Therefore, I say, even if you don't get warned, you don't pay. And the Gemara is going to quote verses where Reish Lakish proves this from. How does he answer the contradiction? Like Reish Lakish said, one Mishnah is a Meir, one Mishnah is a Chachamim. Rabbi Yechonin was of the opinion that if you get warned, then you get Malchus, so you don't have to pay. That's the Chacham's opinion. You don't get both. Like Rabbi Meir says, you do both. Like Emeshali. You get Malchus and you pay. The Chacham holds no. If you get Malchus, you don't have to pay. Right? So Rabbi Yechonin holds, if you get Malchus, i.e. you were warned, then you don't have to pay. But if you're not going to get Malchus, i.e. you weren't warned, then you have to pay. Right? That's what Rabbi Yechonin holds. So Reish Lakish, I disagree with that. Reish Lakish says, I hold that even if he wasn't warned and he's not going to get Malchus, he still doesn't have to pay. You're not getting Malchus. Right? But Reish Lakish shows like this, you really should be getting Malchus. Except you weren't warned. But it's a sin that would get you Malchus. So then you automatically don't pay.
Then we don't have to pay.
According to Reish Lakish. Yeah. Therefore, Reish Lakish cannot answer the contradiction like Rabbi Yechonin did. Because why does one Braisa say you pay? One Mishnah says you pay. One Mishnah says you get Malchus. Right? So Rabbi Yechonin says, okay, you were warned, you don't pay. You weren't warned, you do pay. Reish Lakish says, no, that's not true. Even if you weren't warned, you don't pay. If in a case where if you were warned, you wouldn't have to pay, so even if you weren't warned, you don't have to pay.
So he's not reconciling it.
He reconciles it a different way. One's the mayor's opinion, one's the Chacham's opinion. So it's Amalach Reish Lakish Shokas says, Kivin the Ilu Asirbe, if they would have warned him, yeah, Pati would not have to pay. Even if they didn't warn him, Okay, he still wouldn't have to. Why? He's going to explain why, but Reish Lakish holds, and we'll leave it maybe for next week, Reish Lakish holds, it's not the fact that you actually get Malkus, gets you out of payment. Reish Lakish holds, if it's a sin that you should be getting Malkus, you're also not going to get have to pay.
Potentially.
Yeah. In other words, Reish Lakish holds like this, you really should be getting Malkus. But if you weren't warned, you can always say, I didn't know. What's the purpose of warning somebody? You have to warn the guy to get... He's about to eat chazer. If he wasn't warned, he doesn't get malchus. So you warn him, he gets malchus. The guy's about to kill somebody. You warn him, he gets killed. You don't. He doesn't get killed. Why?
State of mind.
No, the Gemara says to differentiate between intentional and unintentional. That the guy shouldn't be able to say, I didn't know you're not allowed to. For shagig, you don't get killed. For shagig, you don't get whipped. If a guy didn't know you're not allowed to eat chazer, he didn't know it was straight, and he ate it. He wouldn't get chazer. He wouldn't get malchus. He didn't know you're not allowed to. When you warn the guy, now he knows that you're not allowed to, and he did it anyway. So there he gets malchus. So it could be the Shlokish holds like this. Realistically, he did a sin that gets Malkus. He did a sin, he raped a sister, which would get Malkus. Right? Why doesn't he actually get Malkus? Because we have no proof that he did it intentionally. But it is a sin that demands Malkus. If it's a sin that demands Malkus, then you don't have to pay. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, we don't look at it like that. You get Malkus, you don't pay. You don't get Malkus, you do pay. What does that have to do with the potential? Reish Lakish says, no, you look at the type of sin it is. If it's a sin that would demand Malkus, that means you committed a Malkus sin. If you committed a Malkus sin, then you don't pay.
But he's getting away with it.
He's lucky.
So if you know somebody for sure is going to kill somebody, he's about to kill him, for sure is going to kill him. So if you warn him, you're doing, not doing him a favor.
No, it's not necessary, too. If he gets killed, he gets cleansed. Okay.